God has put an expression of himself in each of our hearts, and when we come together, we get to see who God is in his fullness, because he's inside of each one of us, and we get to minister to each other and express what he has placed inside of us and what he's done for us. And all right.
John, can you crank him up?
All right. Yeah. Can you hear me now? Hello, 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 hello. Better?
Keep going, I hear you fire.
All right. All right. Yeah, and the only reason that I'm standing up here instead of sitting down there is because I usually need more words to express what God's done for me than others, but just you guys worshiping together, that's your expression of worship, bringing joy of the Lord, that of what he's done in your life, bringing that into this room, that is ministering to each one in this room. And I got to come here a couple weeks ago, and you guys were so hospitable, and you valued me and Monica, and you loved us well, and that means that you're doing what the body of Christ is called to do well, and I commend you for that. And this is actually my first time that I've been given a full Sunday morning service slot to preach, and I'm excited because I've spent time with the Lord, and I have words to share, but even more than that, this morning, God himself is here in this room, and he is wanting to meet with you guys and connect with you guys and touch your hearts and just heal you and reconcile you to himself. And as I've spent time preparing with the Lord, he's promised that he's going to be here, and I'm excited for what he's going to do. I'll do my best to speak the words that he speaks to me, but even more than that, he speaks through his Holy Spirit individually to each one in this room, the personal things that we need to hear individually from our Father in heaven, and he's going to do that this morning. Because of that, he's worthy of praise, and so I'm just going to pray and thank him for that. Father God, thank you that you are good, you love us, you are the King that we serve, and you are a good King. And we get to come here today, and we get to come before you every day of our lives and meet with you and encounter you and get to know your love even greater. We just ask that you would reveal yourself in this place this morning, and that we would grow closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So the passage that I'm going to be speaking from this morning comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if you guys want to turn there in your Bibles. It's a pretty long passage, so bear with me for just a second. Verse 10 through 21, and it says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. And for this, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. What we are is known to God, and I hope it is known also to your conscience. We are not commending ourselves to you, but giving you cause to boast about us so that you may be able to answer those who boast about outward appearance and not about what is in the heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God, and if we're in our right mind, it's for you. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, and therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come, and all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. In Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him, God made Christ to be sin, even though Christ did not know sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Every verse in there is true. That is truth. And it's good. That's good news. What I'm going to hone in on this morning, though, is verse 18, and it says, God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. We have been reconciled to God, and he has given us the ministry and message of reconciliation. So one more time, those whom God has reconciled to himself have been entrusted with the ambassadorial responsibilities of Christ and advancing his kingdom of reconciliation. And 1 Corinthians 4:20 says, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power." As we're advancing the kingdom of God, it's not just talking about God or saying the right words. If that was the case, we could just go to a street corner with a megaphone and start reading the word, and there would be guaranteed salvation for every person, but that's not how it works. John 17:3 says, "This is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." It's knowing, it's experiencing, it's the power of Christ transforming a life so that we can be reconciled to God. That's what we are called to minister, and that's what advancing the gospel requires, is people having an experience of the power of Christ that allows them to enter into a relationship with their Heavenly Father. And we are called to be ministers and ambassadors of that. And being an ambassador means that you're representing a nation of which you are a citizen. And as ambassadors for Christ, we are representing Christ. We're representing the kingdom of heaven. Someone who's an ambassador, they know their country, they've experienced their country, they know the diplomacy, and they are sent by their government to another nation to reveal what their country is like in exchange and relationships in that way. And we do that from the kingdom of heaven. As Christians, we are from heaven to the earth to allow Christ through us to engage and represent the kingdom of heaven. That means that we have to have had experienced the kingdom of heaven for ourselves. We can't represent a nation that we have never been to. And heaven isn't a place that we go when we no longer are on earth and then we're reconciled to God. We are reconciled to God here and now. We're reconciled to God here and now, and therefore we get to go and represent him here and now because we have experienced him. And we've experienced him through this. Ephesians 2 says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins." And Romans 5 says, "But God shows his love in this, that while you were sinners, while you were dead, Christ died for us. And therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, and we have been saved from the wrath of God. While we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son." I'd like you guys to picture something for a minute. There's two rooms. One room is the kingdom of God. The other room is the kingdom of death. In the room that is the kingdom of God is brilliantly white, brilliantly glorious, because God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit have established their kingdom, and they reign gloriously as on the throne of that kingdom. In the other room, the presence of God does not dwell there, so it's complete darkness, and there is no hope, and the presence of God is absent. But in that room is every single person who has ever lived and ever will live and who is living now, because that room is death, and that's what we were before we met Christ. We were dead in our sins. And God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are experiencing the perfect love and unity that is within themselves, the perfect life that is within themselves, But something's missing. Something's missing from the room of the kingdom of God, and that's us. That's you. God wasn't satisfied with his room alone to himself. He wanted someone to share it with and someone to love with him. He wanted you to be there. So, God, looking at a cross-shaped door that separated the two rooms, sent his son through the door into the other room where we were. Where we were with chains wrapped around us, representing every sin that we have ever committed, guaranteeing and ensuring that we cannot leave the room. We're wrapped with chains, they're bolted to the floor, and we try as hard as we can to break the chains and walk through the door and get to the kingdom of God, but we can't. And God sent prophets, and he sent angels, and he sent everyone he could to the room of the kingdom of death to try and bring us out and bring us into the other room. But no matter how hard we try to listen to the teaching of the prophets and the teaching of the law, we're wrapped in chains that represent our sin and we can't free ourselves. So God finally sends himself. He walks through the door that is a cross. He gets nailed to it. He's pierced. He's whipped. His blood is shed. And he's able to go through the door from the presence of God and into the room of death where we are. And he makes a deal with the king of that room. And he says, all these chains, every chain representing every sin that every person who has ever lived and ever will live has committed, all of these chains that they are unable to break themselves, wrap them around me instead. So all that the king agrees, the king being Satan of that, the kingdom of death, and he removes the chains from us, and Jesus willingly allows those chains to be wrapped around himself, representing every sin that we have committed, every sin that every person has committed, wrapped around him. Every chain that we were unable to break. And the Father, realizing the separation and presence from his son, cries out through the doorway into the room of death. He cries out with love and the chains break. Amen. All of the chains, the millions of sins that we've committed, that every person has committed, wrapped around Jesus, bound him to the floor, and they break at the sound of a father's loving voice crying out for his son, and they fall to the floor. And Christ says, follow me back through the door into the room that you belong, into the room that I want you, into the kingdom of God, where you will establish a new citizenship and be my representatives. And all those who are willing to follow him are free to come into the door. And he walks with them hand in hand. And waiting for them in that room are not new chains that will bind them to this room, but instead, a father's loving arms that will embrace them and hold them as long as they want to be held. And yet, some people have remained in the room of death. Though the chains are broken and still bolted to the floor, they're free to walk through the door, but they hold on to the chains because they'd rather have them. They don't know what's waiting for them in the other room. They would rather trust themselves, and so they're trying to carry their chains with them to the other room. But we are reconciled to Christ. God makes his appeal through us, and we are around those people. Though we live in different rooms, we're in the same setting here on this earth with those people. And while they were still sinners, Christ died for them. Their chains are broken. They have freedom waiting for them freely, but still they hold on to their chains, and all that we have to do is allow the presence of God to show them how much better this new room is than their old room. And they can drop their chains and they can walk through the door, but that only comes through experiencing the power. It's not just telling them, it's having them encounter Jesus, and he lives inside of us. Jesus is with us. We are reconciled to him. Our Father is with us wherever we go. And people will see God, not because we have extravagant words to tell them, but because the presence of God is with us and meets them where they are and tells them the good news. Hey, you're holding on to broken chains. These chains have no power. You can drop them and we'll carry you into a new room. And if we're citizens of that new room, we have that power to share. We have that experience. We have the ambassadorial opportunity to explain, yes, I used to live in this nation of death, but I was given an escape. I was given refuge in this new kingdom. In the kingdom of God, I was given a home and love and opportunity to start fresh, to be a new creation. And none of the chains that I held onto before have any power. They're in a different room. They're not with me anymore. I used to be a citizen in the kingdom of depression, in the kingdom of lust, in the kingdom of sin and selfishness and hate. And when I was a freshman in college, I was given the opportunity to meet and encounter Jesus. I was at a Chi Alpha retreat, Chi Alpha being the same campus ministry that Keaton Morrison was in. I went to Crown, my freshman year was his senior year. And I was in the Chi Alpha program on one of their retreats, and I was feeling broken. I was holding on to a relationship that was unhealthy, and I was holding on to all these expectations for my life that I had devised for myself. I was holding on to the chains that I had created. The chains that I thought were great because I created these chains. I was trying my best to walk into the door of life, but I couldn't. I wasn't strong enough to carry those chains. And in a moment of, I don't know if I was even surrendered to God and open to him, or if I had just given up and I was struggling and I just had a moment of standing still, holding onto my chains, and I just heard the clarity of God speak through the midst of all the lies that I had allowed to play on repeat in my mind. I allowed lies to play on repeat in my mind, and it's the only language I knew, but all of a sudden, there was silence, and a different language spoke into my mind. It was the language of truth. It was the language of God, and he spoke, and he said, "Caleb, I love you." And that was different. It was startling because the only words that I heard in my head were, "Caleb, I hate you. How can you be so inadequate?" But it was a different language, and it was God's voice saying, "Caleb, I love you. And you can hold on to these chains, and I'll still love you, but you're going to be miserable, and you won't be able to experience me. And I have myself available for you to experience. You can hold on to these chains and I'll still love you, but I've made a way for you to have joy and freedom. And I'll love you there, and you won't have these chains." And I said, "Okay, I give up on me. I give up on my ability to escape this room." And God said, "If you give up on you, I'll take you, and I'll be a better steward of you than you are of yourself." And you brought me into the different kingdom. And it's the kingdom of life. It's the kingdom of hope. It's the kingdom of joy and truth. And you guys are my family in that kingdom. And I get to experience moments like this with you all where God's love is present The Holy Spirit is radiating out of each one of us, and I get to see the glory of God and His kingdom. And I didn't get to see that in the other room, but I see that here. And that's my ambassadorial explanation, my ambassadorial testimony. And it's powerful only because God's with me here. He's with us in this room. Spirit is moving and it's touching your hearts. That's why it's powerful. That's why my words have any consequence this morning. Because God's here. And now I loved when I came here a couple weeks ago. I loved when Pastor Kent came down and he opened it up so that others could share and you guys could say what the Holy Spirit is speaking on in your hearts. And I'd love to give that opportunity now. But first, I'd like to give opportunity to those of you who are holding on to chains. You don't have to hold on to them. You can drop them because they're broken chains anyways. You can drop them and you can experience more freedom. And it's always a process. As we go into the kingdom of life, we have to learn how to live in freedom truly, because we still are prone to these habits of holding on to chains and holding on to things. So we go into the kingdom of heaven with closed fists because we're like, I have to hold on to these things, even though our hands are empty and we're holding on to nothing. And God says, just open up your hands and I'll give you more of myself and more of what I have in this kingdom. So I'd like to give opportunity now, if you guys have something to share about just something that you've held on to that you want to let go of. And if not, that's perfectly okay. That's something that can happen between you and the Lord. But if you share it now, we get to share in the joy and the celebration of more freedom, more life. Eternal life is knowing God. Eternal life is getting to know the infinite God. It takes an eternity to get to know God. So there is no shame in getting to know more of God. That's just the nature of eternity. That's the nature of the kingdom of heaven. So if you have something that you'd like to let go of, there's freedom here to share that. But I'd also like to give room as well to, if you have just a testimony, your ambassadorial testimony of your transition from the kingdom of death into the kingdom of God, I'd like to give opportunity for both of those. So, it's up to you guys. If not, then we can close, call it a Sunday. Yes.
I just gotta say, from the first time I met you, I've just been so excited about your life. And just watching you up there, just an overwhelming joy and pride. I know I'm not your mom's sitting there, but seriously, I see a man who loves God, absolutely loves God. And that love is greater than any words that you can ever say. But I also see a man that God is going to be growing in stature, into greatness, in His eyes. He is pleased with me. And I also see that, I need to tell you this, and I don't know why, but God is the God of light. Light includes all colors. All colors. Darkness is the absence of light. That's the removal of all colors. Regardless of every nation that you go to or any people that you speak to, they are all the same because of light. And they are also harmed because of the darkness that removes the light. And you need to know that. And I don't know why you need to know it, but you need to know it. Because God is moving on you. And God is, your love for Him is explosive. And it will be explosive as your stature grows. It will grow. Hold on to it.
Thank you.
And there's some people, I don't know how big these chains are with everybody, they're all different. But I do happen to just know a couple of people that I've really been praying hard for. They got the giant size links, you know, and God can just do that for them, but they just don't have that confidence to go forward with it. And we just keep praying, do it, because once you get to that other room, then they can go, phew, I'm already rewarded. This is cool stuff. What's heaven going to be like? You know?
Yeah.
So that was a good word.
That's awesome. Yeah, we can. It's good news. It's not hard.
Yeah.
It's good news that their chains are already broken. Jesus' work is already done. And we just keep on praying for them to have that experience.
And we're pretty charismatic growing up with Calvary, so we just lay it on the line, you know. We just, God's going to protect us whether they hate us or not. You know, he's going to put up the wall for us, so.
Yeah.
We just let it go, you know, we share the good news with other people. Sometimes it might be a little annoying, but if the Spirit tells you to say it, then go for it, whether they like it or not, you know. But if the Spirit will let you know, you know, hey, back off a little bit, you know.
Yeah. If the Spirit's talking to you, it means he's there, and if he's there, who can stop you? Who can stop him? Yes.
You made a statement. You said God told you he would love you even when you hung on your chains, and that's the Lord is he is love, and that's his character. But that is a difficult one to receive, is that it's about him. It's not about me and how much I love him. It's about him drawing me out, loving me, and changing me.
Yeah. The change is in our ability to experience his love for us. And he wants us to bring us into freedom so that we can freely receive his love. But it's not because we're better, it's just because we don't have chains around us anymore.
Yeah, and when you feel that love, you know, you want somebody else. Man, somebody else needs to feel it. That is just really awesome. You know, they just got to feel this sometime, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
And when that's happening, the devil will be right there to try and stop it.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to be able to recognize that spiritual battle.
Mm-hmm.
He's been practicing for 10,000 years, so he's got a little on us, you know.
Yes.
But I would say he may have it on us, but he doesn't have it on him, the Lord. His power is greater. There were other words, but the first was, I call you my. And I was like, you call me my. And he said that before. But at that time, it was literally just a piece of light traveling down into this pit that I couldn't get out of, that broke all that darkness. But it was that reminder, you are mine. I call you mine. And there's no greater power in the darkness than to know that the God of light and love and life calls you mine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to put all this into words, but I'm thinking here as I'm listening to everybody, but you know, we make that initial commitment and we choose God. But it isn't always going to feel like freedom. You know, I think that in the beginning, it's like any relationship. You know, it's super exciting, super wonderful. But if we are truly choosing God, we're always going to be going through seasons of change. And I'm kind of in one of those right now where it feels like, you know, phantom chains, you know, like sensing those chains again. And whether, you know, depression or whatever stuff that I've always used to deal with, but what I'm finding is that when that phantom sense comes on me, it's usually God wanting to draw me to a deeper place. So I know I'm not alone in that. You know, just going through those seasons and those series of, God, I feel like I'm back in square one, you know, back where I was before. So you must be wanting to uproot something else. You must be. It's so gradual and so gentle, you know, with our souls. And he's not just going to do complete surgery right then, right there. And we're, you know, you forever. There's always going to be something. So he's just picking us apart in layers. But I don't know if that rings true with anybody else. But it's just kind of where I find myself right now. But it's such an awesome reminder that even though it feels like it in this moment, we don't have to hold on to that. We don't have to accept that. We remind ourselves that has been bought and paid for. They are not there. It just feels as if they're there. Just that remind yourself. We have to be reminded. We're stupid sheep, right? If we forget, we'd walk ourselves off the cliff if we were left to our own devices, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. God is relational, and it's not just a moment of everything is clarity on all aspects of life. It's I have enough clarity to know and taste and see Jesus, and just one taste of who he is, just one drink of eternal life. It is eternal life, but we get to keep on coming back and keep on being thirsty. One drink of eternal life and you'll thirst no more. You'll never need more than just a tiny piece of who Jesus is, but because he's relational, he stirs up desire for him so that we can, through relationship, deeper and deeper and cut out the roots of things that have been there. And sometimes he'll put a magnifying glass on it and it feels like it's back. And it, in our minds, it's just as clear as when we were without God, but it's just to point it out so that he can come in and remove it.
It's such a reminder of his great love, too. You know, God knows everything about us, and he still loves us. I can't say that about a lot. You know, it's, when you find a friend or somebody who loves you, even though they know everything about you, it's beautiful. And that's what that is. You know, he knows everything about you and knows what you struggle with, know what you think about, and he still, in his grace and in his mercy, walks with you slowly. You know, just, you're ready, let's point this up. You're ready, let's go deeper.
Exactly.
That's my desire right now. Is I found myself, I just want to go deeper with God. I don't want the mundane. I don't want to just come every Sunday and do the same thing. I want to go deeper because there's so much. We're going to get to know him. There's more. And just like she said, at that moment, when I wanted that, the enemy was right there. That's kind of what I'm dealing with now. Just, you know, when the enemy knows you want more of God, oh boy, start the fire.
I love the light analogy because when we see clearly those things, we know we're in the light. Because in the darkness, you can't even see it. You don't even know it's there. And so that's an awesome sign that he's there.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. Awesome. I'm excited for this part. I was told that I get to lead the anthem that you guys have. And again, I just like to thank you guys for allowing me to come here and share what's in my heart and reveal what's in your guys' hearts so that hopefully we can all see Jesus better. All right, so make it real. Do
the right thing
for
the right reason
with
the heart.
Make a difference at,
home,
in,
the church,
and throughout
the world.
Awesome. It is God's work for God's glory. Amen. Amen.